Okay, so we're not going to be able to cover everything. We talked a little bit about Shura Rabin. We talked a little bit about Estratia. We talked about the complexity of Aplacha, right? Specifically that Aplacha may not, a wall might not even help by Aplacha. And then there's a Machlok and Rishon and Rashba Meiri, whether when we say that Aplacha isn't solved by a wall, does that mean the Aplacha can't be helped by the wall around the city?
Or
it can't even be fixed by a wall around the Aplacha with the people, which obviously is a major, major nafkamina, because a place like Times Square, right, in theory, right, you could put, according to one of those shitot, it is just impervious to being fixed, and therefore that area is just excluded from the air of no matter what. The other would say, not if I could get a fence around Times Square, Yacholiot, if I could do such a thing, but whatever. Now, obviously, but Madison Square Garden, let's say, would not be Rishon HaRabim. Why not? Which in halacha we call mikura, right? Remember we said mikura. If something is a roof, it is excluded. And yes, if it has four walls, it's Rishon HaYachid. But even according to the Svara, that walls won't help a placha, a roof would help a placha,
yeah,
because it's mikura.
Roof over all of New York and solve the problem.
You could do that.
So what is a mikura? Is it mikura?
Okay. Mikura is a roof. You could. Correct. If you turned all of Manhattan into an indoor city in a chanami, you could solve it. So we talked a little bit about 600,000. Again, we talked a little bit about the relevance of Adi Rabim Umivatli Michitzta. So let's talk a little bit about Surat HaPetach, okay? Because most Erevin nowadays are made up of Surat HaPetach for a few reasons. And one is the following. So because I realize that people really have this wrong, so I'm going to jump to something else, but it's very important, okay? And that is, people don't get this. There's Rishuyot, and then there is Erevin. You can have something which is a mamash, Rishut HaYachid, Lekol HaDeot, according to every position, and it needs an Eruv. What is the classic case in which something is a Rishut HaYachid, according to every single position that ever existed in the history of time, and it needs an Eruv? Very good. The classic case. An Eruv in Halacha is standardly an Eruv Chatzerot. What is an Eruv Chatzerot, Josh? When you have houses which open up into a courtyard, in order to allow the houses to carry into the courtyard, midirabanan, you need an Eruv Chatzerot. Right? You need an Eruv Chatzerot. Is the area of the Chatzer a Rishut HaRabim? No, it is not at all, right? It is not. Nevertheless, you... What? Yes. Like, courtyard into the house into the courtyard.
No,
not Rishut HaRabim. The way their houses were from houses into a chatzer, a chatzer into a mavoi into Rishut HaRabim. The chatzer to the mavoi you need, yes. The shituf mavoot. So, that which allows carrying from the house into the eruv, and the Erev into the house is called an Erev Chatzerot. That which permits carrying from the Erev into the Mavo and the Mavo into the Erev is the Shituv Mevavo. Okay? Is the joining together of Mavo. But let's talk about the Erev for a second. The Erev, like Mamash, the Erev is what? What is it? Again, it's two houses. It's that open into a courtyard, and you are not allowed to carry. But again, in Erev, does it have walls? Yes. Yes, right? What? Sorry, does the Chatzer need an Erev? Yes, of course it does, right? Of course it does. No, it is completely closed. See, this is the problem, is that people don't get this, right? People just don't get this. But an Eruv Chatzerot is specifically into the Chatzer. Why? Right, why?
You might take it from the factor to the
So Ugh. 1 second. Sorry. So why do you need the Eruchatzerot? Right, so this is at that kind of Dirabanan, right? And with the Shituf, right, Mivo, the issue there. Now who set up the walls of Erevin? According to the Gemara? Shlomo. This is the Gemara in Shabbat Yudalid. Amr Yudam Rashmuel, Bashashitikin Shlomo Erevin, Until Yadayim. What happened when Shlomo came up the laws of Erevin until Yadayim? Yatzita Batkol. A voice came from heaven, Ba'amra Bini. And God said, my son, Im Chacham Libcha, if your heart is so wise, Yismach Libi Gamani. I too, my heart rejoices. These were the two things that made God apparently the happiest in all of rabbinic decrees was Erevin. Chacham Bini Yismach Libi Vashiva Chorvi Davar. Right? Whoa, voila. Amazing. We love. We love Erev Chatzerot. Now, again, the Erev Chatzerot, what is it made of? Good, so what is it? Very good. So tell me what it is. Because does it need any wall? No, it doesn't need a wall, right? What does it need? At the opening, it's going to need something. If there's an opening, so it will need... Wrong. Shituf Mavot needs a lechir kara. What does an Erchatzer need? Lechayayim. Two lechis. Erchatzerot is... What? It's two lechis. What? Two side posts. Or Tzura Petach. You can get away with Tzura Petach. Right? Okay. Just so you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to read you... Can I read you a Mishnah? Can I read you a Mishnah? Is that okay? What? Okay, good. I'll read you a Mishnah. And then you'll understand what I'm saying. The air, because this is, no matter how many times it's said, people get confused by this. This is Erevin. Perek Aleph. Mishnah Aleph. Very good, okay? A Mishnah. Just to show you that this is basics, ABCs. Chatzer. Sheish bashchenim harbe. A courtyard that has many guests. Kol echad mehem bevayet latzmo. So what did I say, guests? Neighbors. Residents, there we go. Whatever the English is. Shchenim, yeah, neighbors. There's a common... No, there are special halacha, but that's not here. There's multiple guests... neighbors, right? Residents, very good. Kol echad mehem bivayet la'atzmo. Everyone is in their own house. Din Torah, the halacha biblically is, hu shiyu kulan mutarin, the telltale, b'chol echatzer. Everyone's allowed to carry from in the entire courtyard. Mibatin lechatzer, and from the houses to the courtyard. Mechatzer levatim, and from the chatzer to the houses. Mipnei, and you'll tell me why. Rudy, you tell me why. Very good. Shekol chatzer ishurei achir achat. Because it is the very definition of Erishud Ayachid. Very good, you got the Mishnah. V'chein adin, the same thing is true b'mavui. Sheish l'lechi, of course, you call b'nei ha-mavui mutarim l'tatlo mik b'chulo mechatzerot l'mavui b'mavui l'chatzerot. Shekol ha-mavui Erishud Ayachid. The same is true b'machatzer into a mavui, especially a mavui. Satum.
Nothing yet. No.
Mavui is lechi or kara. One lechi or a kara. Or a kara. Or. Lechi or kara. V'chein adin, and he says the same is true. B'medina shehi mukevet choma, crossbeam. V'chein adin b'medina, the same thing is true by a country, she or a city, whatever. She mukevet choma gvoasar tvachim. If a city has a wall, sheish la dilatot ninano balayla, and has doors that close and lock at night. Shekula rishud ayachadi. Zehu din Torah. That is the biblical law. Aval, Mishnah Bet. Okay, this is literally the ABCs of Erevin. Aval, midivrei sofrim, rabbinically, asur, lishchenim, litaldel, birashur hayachid. In case you were wondering, it is forbidden, midirabanan for the neighbors to carry in the private domain, sheish ba chaluka bidirin, that has a division amongst those dwelling, ad shi arvu kol ashchenim kulan me'erev Shabbat, until you mix your food together on Erev Shabbat, echad chatzer, ve'echad mavui, ve'echad. I'm not reading the Mishnah. What am I doing? I'm reading the Mishnah Torah. Why is this so clear? I'm like, what did I just open? I meant to open the Mishnah. I got the Mishnah Torah. I'm like, no, it's the Mishnah Torah. But still, this is a very fine summary. Is Aleph and Aleph Bet. Yes. I was like, this is more clear. I'm like, that's not how Irvin starts. Wait a second.
Don't worry. Like, it took me a good 6 months to know the difference between the Mishnah and the Mishnah.
No, I know the difference. Okay. But fine. The Rambam now gave it to you as clearly as you could. Echad Chatzer, the Echad Mavui, the Echad Hamedina, the Davar Zem, Takanat Shlomo Uveit Dino. And this is from Shlomo. And then in Halacha Gimel he says V'chein Yoshveo Alim. The same is true in Ohel. Blah 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 blah. Halacha Dalid. Your question. Umipnei ma tiknu.
Wait, what?
Isn't
the tent like that? Like a house?
Yeah. So this is tents that are in like a encampment.
Oh, okay.
And then he goes on to explain the case. I'm not going to get into it. But tent. If you want, I can read it. But very quickly. It's not just houses, but if you have tents or you have sukkot and then you're in a little fenced in area, same thing. It's not a house. It's a structure. Right? That's all he's saying. But it's not by shayara. Shayara is a different halacha. I'm not going to get into that. Okay? That's complicated. That's when things get complicated. And shayara is a caravan. So these are things where it's temporary. Fine. Aval shayara shikifua mechitza ein tzrichin la'arev. But a caravan, you don't have to. Ela motzien me'olol b'lo eiru l'fishin kulam merov v'avin ve'ein odon olim kvuin lo'en. Because it's not fixed, right? And they're all mixed anyways. They're traveling together. Now, you may not deal with this shayla, but nowadays it's actually a relatively common shayla because army. Right? Army, when they set up their temporary Erevin on Shabbat, it's often relying on kulot like Shayara and things like that. Right? So when I get Shailas and Erev Shabbos from people in the army, right, you're dealing with very interesting cases of Erevin. You're not dealing with the classic cases, right? You're dealing with a bunch of tents and Umipnei ma tikun shlomo davar zeh. Rambam says, what is this? Okay, good. This will summarize the basics of the Gemara for you. So people won't say, well, if it's mutter for me to carry from the chatzir, right? Because what's going to happen? If people start carrying, they're going to think that they can carry into from public to private, private to public. They're going to think that because the marketplaces and the roads are everybody's, just like the chatzer, they'll think that the only reshut yachid in the world is a chatzer, and everything. And carrying is not a malacha. So they made a derabanan. Any Rishay Yachid which is divided amongst residents, i.e. Chatzer, i.e. apartment building, i.e. hotel. Possibly. Hotel's more complicated. But possibly hotel. Hotel's a little bit complicated because it's owned by one person, potentially, and then that gets complicated. It's owned by a person or a group of people, whatever. Right? So hotels get complicated because they own it, but you rent it for the night, but they leave furniture in it, so they still have a standing in the room. So it's called, well, it's not co-owners. The Gemara actually has the missionary has a case where the person, if you rent a property, but the owner maintains the rights to keep certain property in it, it's not considered fully yours. And therefore, since they have that in every room, so hotels are complicated.
You're renting the furniture as well.
Doesn't matter. You can't move it. You can't get rid of it. And therefore, they maintain rights. So even though you're renting it, they maintain rights.
Not fully renting.
Correct. That's the point. This is already in the Mishnah. This is not like I'm late and head there.
Hang on. All renting is like that. with all any time that you borrow something, there's a
no certain this right the no
actual owner holds.
Correct, but they have rights to things in the house, meaning this space, they're still using the space actively, right? They don't give you the right to clear out. They don't give you the right to clear the bed out of the room, right? Right. This bed has to stay in the room.
Okay, when you're renting a house, there's also
if they leave if they leave furniture in it, then yes. The Mishnah's case is furniture.
Okay.
They leave furniture and maintain, therefore, a physical right, not rights over the property. They a right in the property, like physically. I don't mean like in like the conceptual sense. I mean in like po, nimtza, bed, lamp. Like very barbaric here, okay? Point, right? Wallpaper, like that, okay? It's to make it clear that there is... that more than one thing can be a Rishud HaYachid, more than one thing can be Shudar Rabim. Yes, so that people don't come to think the only thing that's HaYachid is a Chatzer. So what we do is we create these rules, and therefore he says, L'fichach tiken shekol Rishud HaYachid shetechalek b'dirin v'yolchaz kol echad v'echad bar Rishud l'atzmo yishar mimena makom b'Rishud kulan v'yad kulan shevabo kagon Chatzer l'batim. So any place where they all co-own it, so everyone is considered equal in it. Ki'ilu hu reshut la'rabim. Is reshut rabim v'yachshav kol makom makom shachaz kol achad v'neshchim v'chilku la'atzmo shubulvad reshut ha'yachid. V'yeh asur la'otzi. Mirshut shechilek la'atzmo l'reshut she'ad kulam shavebo. So it is asur to carry from the place that is only your domain to the one which everyone has rights in it. Just like Shein Motzin Rishud HaYachid LeRishud HaRabim, Ela Yishtamshu Kol Achad BeRishud Shechilek LaAtzmo Bevad Ad Sheyarvu Kulan Alva Bishakol Rishud HaYachid Uma Hu HaIruv Hazeh. And what is this thing? One second, give me a second. Hu Shitarvu B'Machal Echad. That's to co-own with the food. Shemanichin Otom Erev Shabbat. You leave Erev Shabbat. Klomar, which means to say, Shekulanu Me'uravin. We are all mixed. That's the word Erev mix. Erev means to mix. Ve'ochel Echad L'Kulanu. We all share food. Ve'ein L'Kol Echad Menu Cholek Reshut Mechavero. And we're not divided from other people. Kishem Shiyad Kulanu Shaveh B'Makom Zesh Nishar L'Kulanu. And therefore, just like we're equal in this space, Kach Yad Kulanu Shaveh B'chol Makom She'achaz Kol Achad La'atzmo. So in the whole space, we are equals. V'hare Kulanu Rishut Echad. It's one Rishut. V'mas Azeh Lo Yavo L'Toto L'damot She'mutar L'otzi L'achnin Rishut Echid L'shrabim. And with this reminder, so they will remember that there's a difference between Echid L'shrabim. One more halacha. I'm sorry. One second. And halacha Zayin. Ha'eruv She'osim B'nei Achadzer Zemzeh. What is the Eruv that you make of people in the Chatzer? Zeh wa nikra? Eruv Chatzerot. V'sha'ozen anshei mavui zeh? Zeh im zeh. What's the mavui? Okol b'nei da'u. Hu nikra? Shituf. It's called Shituf. Shituf mevavot. So now, give me one second. I'll summarize it. Point is, right? The Rambam very succinctly in his first seven halachot tells you that don't mess this up. Get this straight in your heads. There are two very different questions here. One is the area in question a Rishud HaYachid or a Rishud HaRabim? Question one. The second question is, even if I solve all the problems around Rishuyot, and this is a Rishud HaYachid, that does not solve the problem of Erevin. Erevin, the Takana Dirabanan, called Erevin, is not a case of Rishud HaYachid. It is only a case in which the case of Erev Chatzer is a case where the entire area is a Rishut HaYachid according to all positions. Yes, private space where biblically it is completely and totally permitted to carry from that house into that space and from that space back in the house. Specifically in that case, there is a Takana of Erev, which means that you must join in Erev Chatzerot. You must have collective food that you collect, and then we go on to have what food it is, and bread, and da-da-da-da-da. And therefore, just because you have solved the Rishuyot problem, do not think that you have solved the Erevin problem. You have not. Right? You simply have not solved it. It is just not the case. Nekuda. And that is why, if you are an apartment building, okay, let's make it easy. You're an apartment building in a place where there is no Eruv around the community. Okay, let's leave it. Okay, because then some people will say, oh, okay, but you're in, right, even if you don't rely on the Eruv, but there's an Eruv Chatzir that you're part of, I don't want to make it easy. Okay, you are in a place. There is no communal Eruv, there is no nothing. Okay, you are on a Rishut HaRabim, D'oraita. Okay, you are on whatever, that new community they're building in Saudi Arabia, right? It's 500 miles, right, of millions of people in a exactly straight thing. Does it have a roof?
Yes, it has a roof.
Shoot. It doesn't have a roof now. Okay, I took away the roof. Uh-oh. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Right? It is. I have imagined that the roof isn't there. So in that case, you need, right, but you live in an apartment building. So if you carry from your apartment into the open area of the apartment, right, the hallway. Yes, you need an Eruv, period, end of story. You need an Eruv. You need an Eruv Chatzero. That is what this is. You need an Eruv Chatzero. No, it is an Eruv Chatzero. That's what it's called. An Eruv. It's an Eruv Chatzero. This is the Takana called Eruv Chatzero. And therefore, what you need to understand is that in addition to all the questions that we've been talking about, and we will continue to talk about Rishuyot. Is it Rishu Yachad? Is it Rishu Rabin? Blah, 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 blah. If you don't set up the Eruv, it is Usher Midirabanan. Everyone agrees you're not Chayav Mita. You don't get the death penalty for carrying. But you can't do it. Right? So when we talk about Eruvin Shailas, my Mash, Eruvin Shailas, in the way that the Gemara conceives of the word Eruvin, we are not primarily talking about what you're talking about, Eruvin. Most modern Eruvin Shailot are not, as I said, are not really Eruvin Shailot. They are Rishuyot questions. Because people don't have the faintest idea what Eruvin is. Now, this is only, okay, I'll let Josh take it, then I'll tell you where this gets even worse, yes?
So if you have non-Jews inside...
That was what I was about to get to.
Okay. Also, how's not a gazer on a gazer if you have a... Because you have the problem with the mod point, and then, like, it's almost like a gazer on a gazer. Yeah. Make it for the...
Who says we can't have gazer and zero?
That's like a whole thing. You can't do that.
Eh.
Okay. Also, can you set up the
Zerubbana? That was oversimplistic. But the truth is that, first of all, it might be Kulachad Gzere, maybe. Okay. But it's not actually clear. One Gzera. But in general, the Beit Yosef says you're allowed to make Zerah Gzera on Chiyuv Emita and Yisrei Karet. And the if you want a fascinating tshuva that really tries to deal with it conceptually, so Rabbi Lam's grandfather, the Emek Halacha of Baumol, wrote a tshuva on Ein Gozrim Gzera L'Gzera, where he says there's two ways of understanding it. Well, how do you understand the word Ein? Oh, this is a very Josh tshuva. How do you understand the word Ein?
Is it Hebrew or Aramaic?
No. You can't or we don't. Meaning, is it prescriptive? You cannot do it. It's normative. Or we don't usually. Right? And therefore, if you see exceptions, not such a big deal. Meaning, in general, we don't, but we can. And if we want to, we will. Right? And then he goes through proofs throughout Shas of whether this is actually a rule or a description of what we normally do. So when the Gemara says, well, Ein goes from Zeh L'Zeh, what is it saying? We're not allowed to, or we don't normally, and therefore your default should be assumed that's not what we did. The latter. That it's a description.
Really?
Yeah. No. Pasha's not. Pasha's not. It's very compelling analysis of the Sugya. Fascinating tshuva. Fascinating tshuva. Emek Halacha is fascinating. Fascinating. I first really heard about him from Ari Lam. Because he told me, he's like, man, my grandfather was obsessed. He's like, not as well known as he should be, but wonderful tshuva. Wonderful tshuva. Oh. And this is a beautiful tshuva. Beautiful, beautiful tshuva. And if you pull a Rudy and you say, oh, I'll find it, I will Google it. Rabbi Emek Halacha, it will come back to me. That, we had this before. He's like, look, I can find the answer. I can Google it. Look, there's an article of it on Harit Zion. I'm like, what, is it by chance written by Rabbi Jonathan Searing? He's like, oh, yes, it is in the Hanavi.
To be right. Fair, Harit Zion is awesome.
It's a great website.
And
so,
yeah.
They're not making Zerubbabel. Was that that? Well, I didn't say he didn't say that. No. He didn't say that. No. No. You can say whatever you want, but it's probably not right. Now, what? Now you'll tell me, but wait a second. So this is an idyllic case. Idyllic. Which is... everybody in the chatzer. This is, you know, this is a yeshuv kihilati that you have to pass. You have to pass a test to live in the yeshuv. You must be dati. You must be. You must hold this hashkafa. This get this grade on your SATs. Yeah, I didn't say I agreed with it, but there was at least one yeshuv in the Gush that for a while that you had to pass the equivalent of psychometry and get it above a certain grade to live in the yeshuv. Not a fraud, but I won't say which yeshuv it was. They did have that for a while. But the point is, everyone's dati, okay? And everyone in your chatzer is dati, and everyone is Shabbos Shabbos. So that is this. But Josh says, well, wait a second. Okay, you've just told me that most of our, that an Erev, a modern Erev, has two shailas. One is all the Chatzerot shailot, the Rishuyot shailas that we talked about a little bit, Rishay Yachir, Rishay Rabin, Mati Rabin, Vatel Chitza, which we have to come back to, and Sarda Petach, and this, that, or whatever. But even after you solve the Gansam Aiso, even if I manage to turn this into Rishuyot, Ayachid, Le Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, the Kola there, I built a wall. I just said, forget it, we're going to build a wall. I'm not thinking about it, we're taking Modi'in, and we're going to build a wall around it, 35 almost tall. You won't see the sun, Bichlal. Right? Right? So then you're only in the topic of Eruv. This is Eruv Chatzir the Gemara talks about. So then you'll tell me, great. Vundivar. Now what do we have to do? So you'll say, aha, well, I know what to do if everyone was Shomer Shabbos, which is... Now what happens if that's not the case? So here I will now you do. This is a Mishnah. And it's going to terrify you. This is about 10 words of a Mishnah that will explain to you the absolute, it's the Gemara and the ensuing sugya is on Samach Aleph, but it's an Erevin, yeah, but the Mishnah, if you just want the Mishnah to do the Mishnah, I'll tell you the exact reference. What? But when we use matzah because it lasts forever. Yeah. You know.
If you had a tray, if you have a tray there,
what?
Yes.
Yes, the Gemara gets into you can't use tevel, but you can use demai because it's nechal. Remember that? So if you look, and this is sixth perek of Erevin, which should scare you. I'm just going to read you.
Wait, what if it's a chatzer of only God? You should be able to use true.
It's a discussion. So now the Mishnah says, this is a Mishnah. Now this is Mishnah, not Mishnah Torah, this is Mishnah. Six Perek, Mishnah Aleph. Okay, and now you will understand the other half of our nightmares. Erevin is two nightmares. One is Rishio, the other is Erevin. And the following words should give you panic attack right now. Okay, I'm going to read them to you. Ready to panic?
Yeah.
Hadar, if you live, im hanachri bechatzer, with a non-Jew in your what, Vav Aleph. O, and Samach Aleph and Gemara. Oh, imisha eno mode be'erov, or with a Jew who does not acknowledge the laws of Erov. Hareze oser alav, divrei Rabbi Meir. This makes the entire Erov invalid and forbids everybody in the Erov from carrying.
How does any community work? New York, there's plenty of Jews and non-Jews.
Have a chazaka. And... Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov then gives you a very nice heter, which obviously solves all our problems. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he doesn't actually. I'm joking. La'olam eino oser achu shnei Yisraelim osrin zelzeh. No, no, no. If it was one Jew and one non-Jew, then it wouldn't do it. But if there are two Jews in the chatzer and one non-Jew, two Jews or more, then it's oser. So if you have two Jews, you have one Jew in the entire city, in a chanami, it's fine. But if there are two Jews in the city, then the halacha applies. So I know that's the heter we're all relying on, clearly.
More than one Jew who doesn't believe in Torah. What was it?
Any non-Jew or anyone who isn't Modeh Behilchot Eruv.
What about Shita Mavah?
Modeh Behilchot
Eruv. Can it ruin
the Mavah? Throws all Behilchot Eruv at them and says, I don't believe this nonsense or what?
Yes.
Can it throw out the Mavah?
What? What? I'm teaching them Erevin.
I know.
That's very stressful.
Does it?
Erevin is very stressful.
Rav, can they also?
Some people.
Well, first getting them to believe, to understand that an Erev Chatzerot is not the same as Rishuyo. That something can be Rishuyo Yachid. It's like the ABC is here. Right? It is. It really is. It really is.
Well, the non-Jew.
I mean, before I was screaming at other things, but right now it's Erevin. Yeah. What?
The entire
era, the entire Shit of Mavot, the entire Gansa, the Gansa Maisa. No. Both Shitot. One non-Jew. The only machloket is that even when it's... No. He thinks that there's one Shomer Shabbos Jew and one Goy, then it doesn't... It's not Usher yet.
Right.
Yeah, fine. For now, just call it Shomer Shabbos. Easy. Fine. But everyone agrees that once you have at least two Jews or Shomer Shabbos, then at least two in the city, then one non-Jew or one person who's on Modeh Hilchot Eruv in the entire Eruv Chatzerot, or the entire Shita Mavot, makes the entire thing bad. If there is more than one observant Jew, then we trigger the prohibition. You're not gonna like why this is an exception according to the Razor. Do you want to know why it's an exception according to the Razor and Yaakov?
Yes.
Because he thinks that we don't have to be gozer against a chatzer with one Jew and one non-Jew because it's rare, because no normal Jew would live in a chatzer with a non-Jew by himself because he's afraid that he would murder him. Okay? And therefore, technicality, he's like, it's a milted lo shchicha lo gozer be'rabanan. But once there are two Jews, then they feel safe, and therefore they would live in a chatzer with a non-Jew, and therefore then we have to invoke the gzera.
Oh,
okay? The point is, neither of these shittot are going to help you.
No.
One non-Jew in the entire city, as long as there's at least two Jews who are Shomer Shabbat.
I'm saying if there's one Jew and there's multiple non-Jews.
Sir. Yes. Yeah. At least one non-Jew or Jew who doesn't keep Hilchot Erevin.
There's only one Jew and literally only one non-Jew.
Correct. According to only Rosh and Yaakov. Correct. One. This is not what we're talking about. This is not the heter you are relying on, shockingly. Right? Now you'll tell me, wait a second. So now,
How does anyone come back from that?
What?
How does anyone come back?
Oh, very good. Now you'll ask me the question. So how in God's name do you deal with this? So the answer is no. Is that the Gemara tells you how you have to do with it. And there are two mechanisms that you can use. Okay? There are two mechanisms that you can use. These are wonderful mechanisms. Okay, ready? And that, what? No. This is what the Mishnah says. This is Chazal. Right? One second. Let me just get them on the table. Okay? The main mechanism is what we call Schirat Rishut. Okay, what's Schirat Rishut? It's renting the property from the guy.
So you're buying their land so they don't live there?
Yes. Very good. Now you're getting it. So you can. Okay. So the relevant, if you want the summary of it. So the Gemara has two mechanisms, okay? One is Schirut, and the other is Bittul. Okay? Is Bittul Rishut. Now, Bittul is where I nullify my rights.
Oh, okay.
Right? Okay? Bittul Rishut does not apply to non-Jews. Gemara and Erevin, Samach Bet, no uncertain terms. Ein Erev Moav Makom Nachri, Ein Bittel Rishut Moav Makom Nachri Atchi Yasker. So Bittel Rishut, no. Bittel Rishut worked with the Jew who does remember, who does keep Hilchot Erevin, and forgets to be Mishtatef. So what he can do, so Bittel is not what we're normally dealing with. Bittel is a very narrow case. Is he a person who keeps Shabbat, is Moav Hilchot Erevin, and forgets before Shabbat to be mishtatif in the Erev, and normally if you have, wait a second.
Is Rabbi Lau book that someone gave, like it's the only thing that says it's mine, please ask him.
Didn't I lend it to you?
I mean, last year.
Is that mine or his? I don't.
The sages?
Yeah.
I mean, I gave it back to you at the end of last year.
Is it his or mine? Ask him, make sure it's his and not mine. Because people might forget whose is his.
How does Sarah should
consider? Is the sages one yours or mine? So it's mine. Oh, I thought I saw it from here. I thought that's one of them you were carrying. Okay. It looked like it from here. Okay, anyways. I'm also like trying to figure out what books am I missing. Anyways, no, so Bittul Rishut is a very narrow halacha. Bittul Rishut is you have someone who is Shomer Shabbat, Shomer Hilchot Eruv, forgets to be Shadav and Eruv, then what he can do at the beginning of Shabbat is relinquish. What? No, because no, but Bittul Rishut, no. A Jew who is Shomer Hilchot Eruv. Good. But by a non-Jew, what you need is Schirat Rishut. You need to, not buy. You rent, yes, you rent the entire city. Very good. Thank you. Schirat Rishut. Renting. What? No, you must rent it. It's a rent.
The same thing as if you're a chometz, you can just make stupid deals that don't actually like mean anything. No, it's a real deal in the sense that you'll actually upkeep it, but like in reality, you understand that there's an implicit understanding that you're not going to act on owning the entire city.
Adequate, like you can't sell.
So the okay, so this is the halacha. Okay, now I said there are certain exceptions, right? What if you're in a place where they maintain rights in the thing, right? That's the hotel case. And the Gemara already tells you, however, that it is a unique case. It's a unique... One second. Yes. So there is a special halacha here that it's not a real, real, real sirot. And therefore, you don't actually have to ask the guy himself. You can ask. The Gemara has a case. You can ask his wife. Even without his permission, or Schiru Likitu, his workers. And they can rent it, unless he says no. Meaning, there's a default that they can do it, right? There's a certain level of...
So if you go to his wife or his workers...
So if you guys sign that, it just comes out and says, I'm not going to give it to you just because, then they can ruin the entire area.
That is correct.
Okay, got it.
Right? That if a single person would... Very good. If a single person would say... that I don't want to do this, then it would.
Wait, then they would say
no.
That they have said.
What?
If you know someone's like Hitler, right, but they've never specifically said this about Hilchot Erevin, because they don't know it or whatever it is, so then can you say that, oh, I can still go around it?
What?
Like, if someone's like Hitler, and they hate Jews, but they've never specifically said this thing about Hilchot Erevin, so then, can you still go through the workers
of
the wife,
even though the guy... So, one second, okay? So, right now, what you need to do, so this is both for a guy, and probably for a Jew who is not Moder Elchot Erov, right? You have to do Schirat Rishut. The Gemara in Samach Bet in Erevin says, why not? And this is explained by Rashi. Why are we doing this? Why are we making this law? You're not going to like it. To dissuade you from living amongst non-Jews. That is the point. That is the point. Shulchan Aruch Shin Pei Gimel tells you in no uncertain terms that if a Jew is Mechal Shabbat Bifarhesya, then you have to rent from them. Also, they're treated like non-Jews. Okay, whether they are or not, but the point is, right, the major question is, once you've gone, even if you've gone to the point, so now you have all these people in the era for you, they're not Jewish or don't keep Hilchot Shabbat, you have a problem because you need Stira Rishut. So now you'll tell me, so what do we do? So what would you do? You would not give up. What would you do? Right? Also, do you do that? Good. So the Torah says, Torah, Shin Tzad the Aleph Aleph says, Tzrichin Liskar Mikol Chatzer V'chatzer Shel Goy. Every single person. V'ein Maspik V'mashi Skor Misar Ha'ir. And you cannot just ask the mayor. You can't just do that. It doesn't work that way. You need to actually rent from every... Okay. However, Shulchan Aruch says, Bamed Varim Amurim, he explained this at length in Beit Yosef Shin Tzad Aleph, but this is Shulchan Aruch Shin Tzad Aleph Aleph. Bamed Varim Amurim, Bisar She'ein Habatim Shelo. It's not enough to ask the governor, mayor, whatever, if the Tsar doesn't own the houses. V'gam ein lo rishut lishtamesh b'batei b'nei ha'ir klal. And he has no, 1 second, and he has no right to use the houses, afil b'shat milchama, even at war. Avol b'makom shekol tzorchei ha'ir einam na'asin el al pisar o'am imunah shelo. But if everything in the city is done by the whims of the Tsar, v'adai sheshchirut me'asar ahu o'mischeru l'kito ma'ani, getting permission from the owner of the city is enough. Shari yesh l'shut l'oshiv anashav u'plei milchamto b'vatei b'nei ha'ir b'shat milchama shalom mida'atam. Because he has the right, in times of war, to leave his soldiers and things in your house. And therefore, he owns your house. And therefore, yalla, you don't have to ask every single person, what do you need to do? Rand it from the Sarite year. There's a slight ktad problem. Ktad problem. Yes, good, very good. So if you're in Bahrain or in Dubai, as wonderful as they are totalitarian governments, and the king can do whatever he wants. So in a Hanami, you can turn to the king and say, can I have Rishut to build an Eruv? And he will say, yes. And he'll say, well, in order to do that, you have to give me permission, in theory, that you are giving me rights to everybody's house. And he'll say, yalla, let's go. What's the problem?
Right?
In theory, he has the right. He doesn't have to use it. I don't know if he would. I don't know. Right? But the point is, he's a king. Right? He can do it. He has the power. Nothing's, I'm actually, probably not in Bahrain. It's a constitutional monarchy. I don't know what the rules, probably do limit him. I don't know. Right? Okay, whatever. Take it. Take your absolute monarchy. Take your dictatorship in North Korea. Yalla. In North Korea, you could probably build an Eruv more Lemahadrin. Okay, you have other problems. But the Eruv Yacholiot that you could solve.
You definitely don't have the concern about the Jew living with the
non-Jew. Fine. Elamai, what's the problem in democracy? So this is where things get problematic. Because at first glance, you would say, they can't do it, in fact. How do I know they can't do it? What's Shulchan Aruch's example of what they have to be able to do?
Use your houses
in the time of water to quarter and put things in, which is literally, exactly, that's literally in the Constitution that we say, no, you are not allowed to do that because we didn't like when the British did it to us in America. So we literally wrote into the Constitution, on the Bill of Rights anyways, right, that you do not have the right to do that thing that we said is what would allow you to build an Eruv. So now you'll tell me, what do they do? So amazingly, what they do is they say a few things. Either they say, eminent domain. In theory, they could take away your house. Elamai, is that great? It's lo kaze. Why? Because what does eminent domain prove? That you, that they don't own your property. Because they can take it and they can force you to sell it to them. But they have to pay you. Meaning it is yours. So, but some posts can say that the existence of eminent domain is enough to say, is enough to make it that you own it and therefore they get permission from the mayor. Other Postkim assume that no, I'm just going to tell you what Postkim say. And they say, no, you can use the fire chief, the fire marshal, because if there were a fire in your house, he would have the right to break down your door to stop the fire.
But wait, what if you're living, I'm serious, what if you're living
or they ask, or it'd be fine, it'd be fine.
The fire chief is not allowed to enter a
diplomatic residence. Oh, then no, then that wouldn't work. Then in the, some people use the police chief because there are cases in which the police has the right. I warrant, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying these are all very, I'm not saying these are glot. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you what happens. Wait, wait, wait. Then there are cases, and I kid you not, this was an actual machloket. Then there are cases, well, if that's the case, so what about if you live in Washington, D.C.? Who is the official government authority of Washington, D.C.? So Yesh Ladon. Sort of the mayor and sort of the federal government, which means not the Congress, executive branch. Executive branch. So when they did the one in Manhattan, in Washington, D.C., they were rented it, as far as I know, from the mayor and the president. This is what I believe they did. Don't hold me to it. Okay? But it is a shtickle problematic. It's a shtickle problematic. Because so... there is a solution here. There is a solution. And I would tell you, Rav Shechter's solution to this. One second. Rav Shechter, well, okay, fine, go ahead. No, but only if they have rights into your house. They, if they have, no, if they have rights, and then they can say no. It's sure like it. No. It's not crazy to say that we use a lot of kulot, because once you say that renting isn't really renting, we even do from Sira Lakita, we understand that it's more symbolic. Yeah. We get that. That's not crazy. So the fact that we have a lot of kulot around this is not surprising. But Rav Shechter has something which, I will be honest, I think is the neatest way of dealing with this. And that is the following. Rav Shechter thinks that lahalacha, lemaisa, what you do is you ask the government... the government has no right over private property. What do they have rights over? Not with bending over backwards and weirdness. Public property, roads, parks, etc. That they do have. It's not necessarily, no. If it's Rishut HaRabim, we have a different problem. But public spaces. Okay, don't use Rishut HaRabim. That is a formal term in Rishut. I don't want that. But public spaces. So Shechter says, look, you want to try using these svarot to create an Eruv. There are two things you want to do with, potentially with an Eruv. One is to allow the Jews to carry from their property into the street, assuming you don't think it's Rishut HaRabim, and from the street back into their houses. What's the other thing? In theory, into, from the road into the non-Jews' houses. And Rav Shechter paskens very simply, Lemaisa. No, he says you just can't. You can't carry into non-Jews' houses. He said the government in America does not have rights over people's private property, but they do over the public spaces. And therefore, if Shechter thinks lemaisa, when you have an air of chatzerot, you can carry from your house into the public domain. Again, not Rishut HaRabim, meaning the non-private houses of non-Jews. What? The government has the right over the roads, right? He just bites the bullet and he says, "You're right. They don't have their shit over their houses, and therefore you have no right to go into their houses. And you cannot carry into their house. You can carry from your house." Because they don't have because the government can stop their rights. I mean, their rights are curtailed in the public space. And therefore, the Tsar has rights over that. Not gerrymandering is the wrong word there. But meaning...
redrawing lines of what's considered a chatzer?
Not redrawing lines. They're just the houses are not including the chatzer. Correct.
So then basically what they're doing is saying the non-Jews are not living in the chatzer.
Correct.
Okay.
That they're not in the chatzer. They're not under the Erev Chatzer. And therefore, Sir Schechter says, as far as I understand him, that he thinks you cannot carry into non-Jew's house. You'll tell. What? Or potentially non-Shomer Shabbos Jew. Right. Potentially, depending on how you... So someone not motivated, but this is a real problem. Meaning, look, it's not a problem if all you want to do with your Erev is carry from your house into the street, assuming, again, we solve the Rishur problems. But it is a problem if you want to carry into non-Jew's house or whatever, any private space, right? Any private space. So forget, like, so this doesn't normally happen, right? I don't know how many people are carrying. I mean, you could be carrying to a non-Jew's house. It's not crazy, right? But also, like, I don't know. There are people who prepay to a museum or something like that on Shabbat, right? Well, I'm not getting to the Shabbos problems. It's a Shabbos thing. I don't want to get into that right now. But they prepay to go to a museum on Shabbat, which is privately owned, right? You can't carry into the museum. It's privately owned, according to Schechter. Right? There's nothing you can do. It's not included. Right?
What do we do in the city?
Yes. Yes, it is, doesn't. It's quite clear from the sugya here, the fact that the Gemara already brings up the heter of Skiru Lakitu, right, that you don't have to ask his... You can ask his wife, you can ask his workers, right? It's clear that it's more symbolic. Right? It's clear that it's more symbolic.
Religious Jew in your house.
What
if you theoretically had a non-Jew or non-religious Jew in your house? Is that possible from carrying in your own house?
No, because if you own your house, no. If they own it, yes.
Where there was different yeshiva guys in the dorm. I'm saying theoretical yeshiva dorm situation. Theoretical, not any specific dorm. Let's say there were both religious guys and non-religious guys in that dorm.
Say it again, if you had...
Theoretical yeshiva dorm that had both religious and non-religious people in it.
So it depends on the ownership.
What about this?
Well, we own it.
Because on the one hand, they tell us that it's our issue of Chametz.
Right, so this is what gets Chametz.
With different types of ownership or different...
Right, you're right. No, you're right. It's complicated. No, you're right. I take it back. Is that it could be complicated. It depends. Now, the truth is that no, because we are at least clear Lakito in your... Right? Meaning, even if you have certain responsibilities, the proper... Right? We maintain rights in it over the...
Buy the food.
No, but it doesn't matter. But over your fridge, you can't leave. You can't take the fridge. You can't take, right? Right? Meaning, we do indeed, right? We do indeed maintain certain rights over your. What? What are you talking about?
I buy something.
We do own the fridge.
No, but I'm saying if I have dry food, it doesn't need to go in the refrigerator.
What does that have to do with anything? Correct, but the whole point is that we maintain rights in the house, in the apartments, and that's enough. Okay. Yeah, but this is what you have to understand, right, is that when we talk about Erevin, we are not just talking about Rishu Yod. And this is what boggles my mind that people don't get this. But you're also talking about Eruv, right? And you need to Rishu, right? Even if you solve all the Rishu Rabim, Rishu Yachad, Rishu whatever issues, right, you have to deal with this. You have to deal with the non-Jews and the people who aren't Modeb Eruv, which is probably people who are not Shomer Shabbat, that live within the confines of the Eruv. Then you need to... Right, you need to do schir rishon. You need to figure a way, and it's not so easy.
If someone holds by a more makel position in helpless eruvin, are you still allowed to consider them as if they hold by helpless eruvin?
Yes, they're modeb hilchot eruv. It's modeb hilchot eruv.
Well, but according to you, what they're doing is
that doesn't matter. They're modeb hilchot eruv.
They believe it
exists. Yeah, they acknowledge the existence of hilchot eruv, and they live a life committed to eruv. They hold of a different shita. Who cares?
What if you believe that Shita is actually wrong and that's just us?
So? Their best show gig, then.
Even if it's like a Reformed Jew, that's like a completely different
conception. Okay, no, no. So people have different conceptual halacha. But if someone holds like a different shita, they're still obviously modeled by Chayyar. That's obvious, right? If now, it's an interesting question. No, okay, so this is worth pointing out. The Gemara has a rule, which is halacha kedivra hamekel behilchat eruvah. But eruvin we go lekula when there's a machloket. However, first of all, it's a machloket what that applies to, but there's a right, in terms of like what generation.
Yeah.
But the more important thing is there's a major machloket rishonim whether that's only the eruvin questions or afil b'mechitzot questions. Because mechitzot questions are potentially d'oraita. Eruvin questions are only d'rabbanan. And there's a machloket rishonim. But everybody agrees that eruvin questions are dictated by the principle of Achadu Mekel Be'erev. Now, obviously, Achadu Mekel Be'erev isn't a magic rule. It's not like I hold X, Josh holds Y. What? Josh is more Mekel, so automatically he wins. Right? That's not how things work. Right? It's not like magically someone comes up with a more Mekel position and he always wins. Right? That doesn't make any sense. That's not what it is. Correct. You got to figure out what the rule is, and it's a very complicated rule. But my point is that it's definitely when it comes to Eruvin questions, the fact that someone disagrees with you is not, in general, we wouldn't say that's an invalidating thing. But Kal v'chomer by Eruvin, where our default is Lekula, Rishuyot is interesting. Because Rishuyot, there were poskim who didn't feel that way. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was said to have brought his own witnesses to weddings because he thought the world were all invalid because A, they relied on Eruvin, and B, they weren't makbid on Vada Yashan, and they had Safek Chadash, right? New grain rather than old grain, which is Nisr Doraita. And therefore, grain, right? That the Torah says that you're not allowed to have grain that was, right, that took root after the 16th of Nisan. And historically, people are not so machmir on making sure that their grain is vada yashan. And he felt that that was invalidating enough to possibly do it. Now, there are contrary stories that was just a cover for him really thinking that people were postulated for other reasons, but it was easier to say that. Yeah, because then people didn't feel offended. It's like, well, my rabbi doesn't do that either. So, okay, it's not good enough. No one's good enough for him. Right, that's less offensive than what he might have actually thought. I don't know. I can't get into his head. I have no idea. But I've heard other reports of that. So Eruvin, right? In addition to again the Rishuyah problem, you have the Sekir Rishuyah problems, right? And this is what you have to have. This is what they rely on. Now again, I don't think it's crazy because again the Gemara already tells you that unlike Mechirat Chametz, this is a symbolic Sekir. Now, the Gemara already tells you that by saying it could be his wife without permission, even though she doesn't really own it, or his workers. It's telling you it's more symbolic. Now, it doesn't mean everything goes, but it does mean that the Gemara is already telling you this is not real, right? This is symbolic. It still has rules, right? But it is symbolic. The Gemara already tells you that. So it's not crazy to be Mekel. That doesn't mean you can just be Mekel. Again, I think Rav Shechter's position is eminently reasonable because you don't have to bend over backwards to say that the government controls public space. But that's not crazy. But the upshot of that to say lemaisa that you can't carry into the non-Jews' houses. No, it's not about much. I think it's very reasonable. No, I think it's very reasonable. I think it makes a lot of sense. What? Yeah, no, I think it's very reasonable. I think the fact that people... I think to not say something like that, then you have to start bending over backwards, right? Rav Shechter gets you out of a lot of problems by saying, okay, they don't have the authority to rent out the private spaces, and therefore we won't include the spaces in the Eruv.
Somebody had, like, a star, like, from the government that, like, if one of, like, urban organizations did the Eruv, they bought everything, but you hold, like, Rav Shechter, can you still...
Yeah, I think you could still do it, but I... Correct. Yeah, no, I think you could still do it, but you shouldn't carry into it. Yeah, I think you would, like, Rav Shechter. I don't think you would invalidate the whole thing. I don't know. I don't think so.
Isn't it made in another
shita, so why would that not? But it's not like you didn't get Rishut to the public property. right? Like, they do have authority over it, right? They, that didn't change. But it's symbolic. This isn't a real sale. It's symbolic to begin with, meaning it is. This is not, again, this is not one of those cases where I'm telling you it's symbolic, but it's really real and people are being makel. No, the Gemara is telling you it's symbolic. This isn't Mechiras Chametz where it's a real sale. The Gemara is telling you the whole thing is Derabanan, and that's why we're super lenient on how we go about the Sekirat Rishut, and we let you do Sekirat Lakitu, and blah, 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 blah. Right? And his workers, and his wife, and his this, and his that, right? Meaning, this isn't like, the Gemara already says this. Okay, my voice is going, and we've done an hour, so I'm going to leave you with this. But again, the major point you have to walk away with is this, is that because people mess up the terminology, they think we've solved the Rishut problem, and we don't have an Erev problem. You forget that, no, Dafka, when you've solved the Rishut problem, that's when Erevin starts, according to the Gemara. Right? Okay.